You think Wisconsin took the week off because of COVID? Which one thought that I told Superfly when he was talking to me about it, I said, they're not going to go into Nebraska and play with a four-string quarterback. They're going to make sure they get their team healthy, quarantined, whatever they have to do. Because it doesn't count as a loss, and I don't think it should. Some are like, well, they should go play. You know, some of the Nebraska fans, oh, it's COVID-19. Everybody has to deal with it. Well, no. If you're going to go in with a quarterback that never would sniff the field, is that fair to the rest of the team? Seriously, the people who have made the commitment to follow all protocols. No, I'm cool with that. Folks, this isn't the end of the world if a team misses a game or when we get to the Big Ten Championship or the college football playoff or NFL football games. We're so lucky to have sports back. And yes, right now it is COVID-19 crazy as we're 5 days out. On election day, it is COVID-19 crazy. And like I've told you for the last 4 months, talk to the medical professional that you trust, your health, your kids' health, the health of your business, whatever it is. Talk to that medical professional like I do with Dr. Ed Cronolia from Metro Health University of Michigan Health. And he'll join us in a moment because you're seeing the rise in cases. You're getting this. Is it fear? Is it panic? Is it blowing up? COVID-19 again. Flu numbers have disappeared. Is it the common cold? Are all these COVID-19? Are we at risk to a repeat of the spring? Meanwhile, while you look at one side of the media and you hear this, the other side of the media, they're talking about 25% capacity for the Super Bowl in Tampa. Or the Lions are welcoming in 500 friends and family for the game against the Colts on Sunday. So it's kind of like in the sports world, you know, Mertz in Wisconsin, he tested positive, okay? He's not in the hospital. He even sent out a note. He's doing fine, okay? That's the game changer that I've said all along since we talked about the return, the slow return of sports, going back to the end of May, early June, was the minute we had multiple athletes, coaches, support personnel end up in hospitals in critical condition, or God forbid they started passing away because of COVID-19, is when you would hit the stop button on sports. And my heart goes out to everybody who's had to deal with COVID-19. But we do have 330 million plus people in this country. So you hear how the economy's done so well. You look at sports, but then you go to the other side and Twitter and Facebook and TV channels, and this COVID-19 conversation is raging again because you do see the high case counts. Hospitalizations are up, but also if you read, hospitalizations are up at this time of year because you're beginning the flu season. Let's go talk to a medical professional, get his perspective. Dr. Ed Cronolia, family physician, sports doc, Metro Health, University of Michigan Health. He's our medical insider here on the Huge Show across Michigan. And Dr. K, what's your advice right now to anybody listening, and not just connected to sports, but everything, because it's COVID crazy right now in the media?
Yeah, you know, and I listened to your intro there, and I think you hit the nail on the head. It's real. It's going up. It's doing what we expected it to do. This time of year, and with people getting back together, I'm not just talking about schools, because actually schools are doing really quite well. But just in general, it's kind of gatherings together. We're seeing an uptick, and this is the kind of the fall season, the cold season, when we start to see viral cases go up. So it's not unexpected at all. And like you said, the hospitalizations, I just looked right before I came on, hospitalizations in the state of Michigan are up a little bit, certainly compared to where they were 6 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. They're not near where they were across the state in March. Not near, and we don't want it to get there. So we're all the hospital systems and everything have been planning for this bump in cases that we all expected to happen in the fall. And so none of this is outside of the norm. I think it just reminds us we have to be careful. I think there is some COVID fatigue, and I think as adults, frankly, I'm going to place a lot of this. On the adults a little bit getting together. You know, the schools got together and then the adults got together. And I think you know, maybe weren't quite as careful as we needed to be. Again, also acknowledging we expected cases to go up a little bit in the fall. But wear your mask, wash your hands, and like you said, the good news is that the severity of cases appears to be lower than it was. And again, it does affect people. There are people passing away. We cannot forget those people. We cannot downplay that at all. But by and large, particularly for our school-aged kids, they're doing great. And even the cases you see, like Wisconsin and so forth, I mean, it's a high-profile case, but by and large, if you looked at all the athletes across all the schools in the country, a very, very low amount of college athletes are being affected by this as well. It's just that if it's a big, you know, school and it's a big conference, it's going to get a lot of attention, even though the numbers are very low with respect to kind of transmission of the virus among college and high school athletes.
Yeah, we'll get to the Big Ten Conference's 21-day quarantine in a moment, but I want to just touch on what you said about hospitalizations. Now, when they say hospitalizations, is it because of COVID-19, or could it be just hospitals are full from flu-like symptoms? And I mentioned that flu cases seem to be down, and that could be how people are washing their hands, and you mentioned that the last time with us. But how much, when you hear hospitalizations and cases are up, Dr. K, how much of the hospitalizations up is connected to COVID-19?
A chunk of it is. The good news is there's fewer people on ventilators, far fewer people on ventilators. We know how to treat this differently than we did at the beginning. And, fewer people are in intensive care. But there are still, it does look like the at least around here, hospitals in West Michigan, that a lot of the hospitalizations are, the new hospitalizations are related to COVID. And you're exactly right, though. Hospitals don't run at zero capacity until there's a problem. Hospitals are running at 50, 60% capacity, maybe a little bit higher all the time. And then in the fall, you do see an increase. And so it's not unusual to see an increase. It just, with COVID, and we talked about this before, the problem is it's because it is so easy to spread that it just means that it can go from manageable, an increase that is manageable to an increase that gets difficult to manage very quickly. And I think that's where it becomes important to really try to, wear your mask, wash your hands, and just be smart about, getting together in groups at all. But the hospitalizations right now that we're seeing is by and large due to COVID, but again, not completely unexpected this time of year. And hospitals aren't empty and then they get full. So there was already patients in the hospital, non-COVID patients in intensive care on ventilators, well before this increase in cases we've seen over the last couple of weeks.
Well, the news I take from you, a medical professional, Dr. K, is that things aren't as severe in terms of hospitalizations and cases as they were last spring. Currently at this time, correct?
Correct, and it's spread out. We talked about this at the beginning of the year. You could pick 9 or 10 regions of the country, like Detroit, New York, Florida, California, and 85% of the cases were in those 9 or 10 regions or 10 areas of the country. Now that it's spread out more, which at the time we were thankful that it wasn't so bad here, but the resources were being really drained in those areas. So the good news is now it's the resources are appropriately proportioned, and so most areas are able to take care. But I know down in Texas, I think El Paso was having some issues, and there are certain spots that are warmer than others. But in general, the resources and the cases are much more spread out than they were at the beginning, which makes us much more able to handle it, which again, back to what we talked about this whole time, is really one of the goals is to be able to manage that, to take care of patients, not overwhelm hospital systems. And right now, the way things are, even though things are going up, the medical community, the medical professionals and the PPE that's been developed and so forth over the year or the last 8 months is really helping to make sure that doesn't happen.
What about flu cases? When you talk about hospitalizations, when you look at everything, I don't know exactly what is inside a COVID-19 test, but could a traditional cold or flu register as COVID-19 and be part of what they're doing when they're testing everybody now?
Yeah, good question. They're different enough viruses that they shouldn't. So now there's just like there's a strep test that you can get in the office, and there's a flu test that you could get in the office for years. There's now a COVID test you can get in the office. And the viruses are different enough that, and strep is a bacteria actually, but the two, the flu virus and the coronavirus are different enough that it shouldn't be really any cross-reactivity. But to your point, we're just launching into flu season, what would normally be flu season. And in the Southern Hemisphere, which is coming out of their flu season, they had a significant decrease in the amount of flu cases, partly because of all the protection that people were doing, washing hands and wearing masks. So a lot of this is COVID. It probably isn't flu. We're hopeful that with vaccinations, a lot more people are getting vaccinated this year with flu, that, and with the precautions, because flu is not as catching a virus as easy to catch as COVID, that maybe we'll have lower cases of flu, and that's what the hope is, so that the hospital systems maybe are busy with COVID, which we'd rather not be busy with COVID, but it's going to happen, and not with flu, and so that really at the end of the year, and that we're not treating that many more patients. It's just a COVID instead of flu this year.
So you won't really know till the flu season ends at the end of February, early March, where those numbers are at. Dr. K, Ed Cornelius, sports doc, family physician, Metro Health, University of Michigan Health. He's been our medical insider on the Huge Radio Network for over a decade. I want to get your thoughts on this Ross Dellinger Sports Illustrated report from yesterday. Last night it came out, an exclusive. Cardiologists are finding so few heart issues in athletes, they are no longer recommending screenings for most COVID positives. How emerging data will impact protocols like the Big Ten's 21-day policy. Barry Alvarez, the AD and former Wisconsin coach, said it's time to take a serious look because the Big Ten has a 21-day quarantine. 7 days of that was added on as part of the deal to get the Big Ten back on the field because they were worried about myocarditis. Your thoughts on this report, and should the Big Ten lower their quarantine from 21 to 14 or 10 days?
Yeah, you know, it certainly would seem reasonable to do that. I agree, and I was looking at that study that you were citing there, and they said exactly what you said, that they're just not, it just doesn't warrant it. The good news is that we have been able to do a lot of testing because of the Big Ten and other conferences, and when there was positive COVID tests, the protocols that were in place allowed us to do a lot of testing, which allowed a lot of data to be gathered. And certainly, you know, it's hard to say you don't want to be too cautious, or you can't be too cautious, but certainly with the protocol from the CDC and others gone down to 10 days of quarantine, you know, 14 days would seem a reasonable extension as opposed to going all the way to 21 days. But certainly good news, particularly in high school age kids and most college age kids as well. It looks like, you know, just like everything else with the disease, unfortunately, the older you get, the more likely you are to have an underlying heart condition or your heart be a little bit weaker anyways. And so that group is more likely to have a problem than healthy, active kids who are younger, recognizing that anybody can get myocarditis, just like any other viruses. Myocarditis is not new. You could get myocarditis from a virus before, and I think we're going to find that it's very similar to the previous ones, that COVID doesn't make it more likely to get myocarditis. It's just that we didn't know going into this. So I would suggest that shortening that down would make a lot of sense at this point.
Well, would you say that the Big Ten should follow the 10-day CDC protocol on the quarantine for a positive test?
Yeah, I think so, because we're doing what we do with every patient, is you're monitoring, right? So if someone has COVID, they're mildly symptomatic or asymptomatic, they have their 10 days of quarantine, and then before they jump back in, they have to gradually increase their activity anyways. And so a physician, team physician, or whoever's going to be monitoring the athlete, and so after 10 days, if they gradually start to increase their activity and they have symptoms, they have chest pain or they have shortness of breath, well, they're not going to be in the middle of a football game because they're just doing gradual activity. And so you can tell while the ramp-up is going on who may need further testing. And so I would suggest, yeah, cutting that back, because they don't go from, like, day 10 in quarantine and day 11 in the middle of a football game. There's a bit of a recovery, just like you would from any illness that shut you down for a little while. And so you should be able to tease out who needs some further testing in that period of ramp-up.
And Graham Mertz, a Wisconsin QB, that headlined this latest story where Wisconsin's game against Nebraska has been canceled on Saturday. Nebraska tried to schedule Tennessee Chattanooga, but the Big Ten said no non-conference games for anybody in the conference. Graham Mertz, that quarterback, has said that he's doing fine, and he's just currently in quarantine. But with their rules right now at 21 days, I don't know. I think all the coaches would agree to pare it down to 10, which meant or would mean he would miss the Nebraska game anyway. So we'll see where that goes in the coming days. Dr. K, before I let you go, for a parent listening, a coach, an administrator at a school, college, anybody listening right now connected to the world of sports, based on the uptick in cases, based on everything we're reading on Twitter, Facebook, and across the 9,000 cable and satellite channels, is sports still a safe option for the youth level, high school, college, and pros?
Yes, in general, it is very safe. We've seen nothing to suggest it isn't. We have to be cautious. We have to just do like we always do, listen and look and see if anybody is sick and take care of them. But sports is safe. It's good mentally and physically. We have to keep people active for lots of reasons. And I would suggest that being smart about it, washing your hands, wearing a mask, staying away from large gatherings. If you're going to a football game Friday night, really wear your mask, stay in a group together, spread out in the stands. But it is safe to do, and we need to find a way to keep this going.
Dr. Ed Cornelia, family physician, sports doc, Metro Health, University of Michigan Health, longtime medical insider on the Huge Show across Michigan. Dr. K, thanks for the update, and we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Talk to you later.
The incredible thing about Dr. K, if you've been listening to the show, whether you're new on AM 1270 in Detroit or the game 7:30 a.m. in Lansing, his honesty about this virus, I have not heard a medical professional ever waver from what he said on the first day. The day we had the first case in Michigan back in March in this studio before we weren't allowed to have him back in studio. He said, follow the medical science and data and listen to the medical professional you trust. And his honesty is refreshing, because if you read Twitter, Facebook, or you watch these channels, or going back and forth, even with your friends, this is all over the place, and it seems to really have ramped up the conversation leading up to Election Day, and I don't think that's a coincidence. That's why I lean on Dr. K, and he's my family doc. So all of you picture Dr. K having to deal with me